This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here with you for the next hour, talking about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning, fellas. How are we?
Good morning.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. A little chilly, a little brisk out this morning, but not too bad.
Crystal clear.
Very clear. 39-ish in Poway.
And no frost on my potatoes, so I was okay.
Oh, well, that's good.
You don't want to have frost on your potatoes.
You do not want frost on your potatoes. That is correct.
Speaking of which, we still have quite a few potatoes in stock.
Not that many.
Oh, did it thin out a little bit?
Yeah, but we're still waiting
for more
for the February batch.
Oh, I thought that was the February batch on the shelf.
No, that was the January batch.
Oh, okay.
And the January batch is almost gone, but the February batch has not yet arrived.
Well, let's hope that it'll get here fairly soon.
Otherwise, it won't be the February batch.
It seems to me it was late February.
When
they finally arrived, and the same pattern is developing again. So we shall see. We're at their mercy, so we'll get them when we get them. But the supplier seemed a little less optimistic that they would be here
sooner than later.
Yes. So...
Yes, with last year, with everything that happened last year, we should expect that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking this was too late.
Yeah, but I agree.
We put in the potatoes. It was George's fault that I planted potatoes last year, and there was still plenty of time. So even though it was late, they weren't.
Well, yeah.
So do not despair. There's plenty of other things to worry about that you don't have to.
Now, Those potatoes aren't coming from Arkansas, are they?
No.
Okay.
No.
Do we have any idea when the stuff from Arkansas is going to be here?
Well, since you asked, the stuff from Arkansas has arrived.
Oh.
But we did not hear from the Ag Department.
So it hasn't been cleared yet.
So basically it's not here yet.
Okay. Well, you know, as a refresher, though, when you say the stuff from Arkansas or Arkansas, what is it? What can people expect from Arkansas?
We can expect UC...
157
asparagus crowns that are 1 year old. We can expect two new blackberries that should do well in our area that we have not seen before. We should expect some seascape strawberries, some bare root, himrod, and Concord grapes. I was trying a smattering of things. I wanted the asparagus.
Right.
Yeah. But so you have to make an order.
No, but and then the blackberries were there, which we didn't have access to from any of our other suppliers, so threw in some of those. And then, well, let's see what the strawberries look like and all the other things so that if it's nice and up to standards, we can get it for next year.
Yeah, we'll order early.
But they're not here yet, so we're not talking about them because they have not yet been released by the Ag Department.
But that can happen soon since they're listening right now.
They probably are. Yes, they are. And taking records. So hopefully they'll be released on Monday in time to send some of them to you guys. We'll see.
And we have had some people asking for the UC asparagus.
A lot.
A lot of folks, yeah.
And it stands out because it's fungal resistant?
It's
more disease resistant.
Disease resistant.
And productive.
Right.
In wide swaths of the country. So... That's why people clamor for it.
Well, and I know we've had 157 and we've had 72 in the past. So that'll be good. So I would imagine that we'll get Ag Department clearance on it.
Yeah, Friday is a difficult day to do
it. Early in the week.
But so I would imagine it'll be Monday.
You guys have been in this business for a very long time. Do the asparagus growers just, they don't have any imagination for names?
Well,
there's Mary Washington.
Yes. But why are those, you know, why are there some numbered variety? I mean, remember the Royal Crimson Cherry first came out was 6GM25. Yeah.
What are the first two letters of the asparagus referring?
Right.
Well, that probably explains it for you. Okay. It explains it to me. UC did it.
I see.
It's our number 157, which is not to be confused with Heinz. And they're number 57. Totally different.
Completely. And only you would go there.
Also completely different.
Yeah.
Speaking of completely different, here's David.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, one thing that I don't think people realize with asparagus is to grow it properly, you have to plant it deep. What do they recommend? Is it like a foot?
Foot. Yeah,
you start in a trench that's a foot deep.
Correct.
You don't bury it. And then as it grows, you fill it in.
Kind of like potatoes.
Potatoes.
Yeah.
And the other thing is people don't realize that it's productive for years.
Yeah.
It's not something, it's not an annual or a couple year, but you can get 15 years on a good bed.
Yeah. But you're not supposed to harvest until, is it
2 to 3 years?
2 to 3 years right. Before you're supposed to harvest it.
When I was a young paper route writer, I'd finish my paper route and I'd come past a swampy area on my way back home, a kind of the drainage area for the neighborhood.
You sure it wasn't just a cesspool?
Yeah. It is now. No, actually they've provided real drainage for it. But there was asparagus planted in this field. Not a lot of it, but it was off to the edges of it and nobody took care of that area. And I would harvest spears and take them home once in a while. I think we rinsed them before.
I would hope so.
You're still alive, so it's everything's good.
Lord.
That's what gamma globulin was for in the day.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
You're shot, yeah.
Yeah.
Experience with that.
I used to start siphons in the backyard, and when you have a failed siphoning experience, Dad would bring home some serum globulin A.
Did he make you rub it in your hands to get it warm before you injected it?
No, I don't think so.
Let's see. When we had the weather come through with the hail, we're now starting to see hail damage coming into the store.
Oh, a ton of it.
Yep,
a lot of it. The first that I saw was a lady brought in a Brugmansia leaf that looked like it had been shot with a shotgun. Just little teeny holes.
Put holes
all
right through them.
Yeah.
I was looking at the onions in our garden, and all the onions look like from a distance look like they're just covered in rust because they're just little dots all over, and you get up close and you can see it's just hail damage, mechanical damage.
Yeah, our Brugmansia in the backyard took a beating. I would say probably 50% of it defoliated.
You know,
smacked it.
It's standard operating procedure for us where we recognize it, we expect it, but it still surprises me how surprised people are.
Right.
When we tell them that it's hail damage, because nobody thinks hail's going
to
do that.
Yeah, we had the agave, and I had to pull a couple of agaves the other day, yesterday, as a matter of fact, and they were completely pitted.
Pitted?
Yeah.
All through the leaves?
Yeah.
And if you look at them, and you look down upon the whatever the plant is, you'll frequently see totally healthy areas where they were shadowed or shaded by the leaves or whatever.
The upper leaves protected them, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I think people don't realize it just because it's such a rare event. I mean,
it doesn't happen.
It does not happen.
Well, typically,
hail doesn't happen very often around here.
I'd say maybe every couple of years, but
this was
a significant event, though.
Yeah,
there was a lot of hail.
Was a lot
it
of hail.
Lasted for a day and a half in the neighborhood. It looked like it had snowed.
And it was pretty good size. It was at least eighth of it. Well, in Scripps Ranch, where I live, it was at least eighth of an inch.
Yeah, my onions are white. From across the yard, it's pitted the green, and then now it's kind of a white color, and the peas got damaged too. It's surprising how much they can do.
Well, the good news is most stuff will bounce back fairly quickly when the weather warms up and put some fertilizer on them.
They're all edible. I harvested a bunch of spinach and Swiss chard and broccoli and put it in a soup, and it couldn't tell it had hail damage.
Are you sure?
Right. Did you? It tasted just as good.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Reinspection, and it was fine after that.
It was fine.
Good.
And then I think you said that they are upping the chance of rain next week.
They're talking about the models coming into greater agreement to bring a wetter solution to Southern California. But we'll have to stay tuned and see if the...
And I think that's Wednesday, isn't it?
It's... Yeah, it's supposed to become moist later in the week, a warm, moist flow aloft coming in from the south, and that even if we don't get rain, we should get light rain and drizzle coming out of the clouds regardless, because it's going to be a moist environment. And then in central and northern California, where we want them to have a ton of rain, get the snowpack built back up.
I thought that last storm did build the snowpack back up.
I think I heard they're in the 90th percentile of average for this time of year.
So two thoughts here. One, David enjoys the weather, or he doesn't have much of a life because you just sit and listen.
You know, a friend of mine would say, ¿Por qué no los dos? Why can't both be true?
No, too much detail in that weather.
That I can't have no life and be interested in weather.
Those things, yeah, exactly. That's why you are.
Yeah. Okay. That's all.
Those are true. Yes.
Yeah. God, what else do we have to talk about? Last week we were going to talk about the. I don't think we touched on it. We were going to talk about the citrus quarantine.
We should.
Which is still in effect.
One last thing with the weather, it's still plenty moist out there in the soil. We need not water.
No, right. I haven't.
Correct.
My sprinklers are off.
Okay.
I haven't.
Probably another 2 to 4 weeks, and especially if we get some more overcast.
I would think so.
Now you may.
Although I may have to give my proteas a little bit of extra water since they're in containers.
Oh,
yes. Well, anything in containers. Yeah.
Containers are still going to need to water. It's just the stuff that's your landscaping that's in the ground that you don't have to have your sprinklers on at this point in time for the most part.
Agreed.
Correct.
Yeah.
You haven't said agreed, George.
I did before that.
Okay, thank you.
I think we'll have to run the tape.
Have to circle back on that?
I'll circle back on that.
Hey.
Anyway, the citrus quarantine, which is still in effect throughout probably, about two-thirds of the state? From Sacramento south?
I think it's hit around the Bay Area, which I guess Sacramento would be kind of inland Bay Area.
Yeah, in the Delta. But you're not supposed to transport untreated citrus through, I guess you could transport it within the quarantine area, but you can't transport it outside of the quarantine area.
Right. And each quarantine, which I didn't realize, there are different quarantine areas. The state's divided into four zones.
I think so.
And it's supposed to stay within your individual quarantine zone.
Yeah.
But that zone is the nursery stock zone, but they have another. I think there's 8 zones for production for actual citrus.
For the fruit itself,
those are in different zones. Right.
And I guess we should talk briefly about this. Is the Asian citrus psyllid, which is a pest that has now been found throughout the state. Started in southern San Diego County.
Started down in San Ysidro Otay area, wasn't it? Oh, 10 years ago?
And they tried to prevent the spread of the bug, which by itself is not a problem, but the bug is what spreads HLB, Huanglongbing, the citrus greening disease, which is a problem because there is no cure for it, and it is ultimately fatal for the trees. It decimated the citrus crop in Florida and Texas, and soon coming to a farm.
Well, they have detected it in a couple of places up around L.A., I think.
Yes.
The disease itself. I've had the psyllid on one of my lime trees in Rancho Penasquitos and called the ag department, just let them know it was there. And, you know, they were not overly concerned because there's no disease this far south at the time.
However.
comma. Right.
Yeah.
They found the disease in a couple of bugs in Fallbrook. Just after the first of the year.
Yeah. They didn't detect it in any of the trees yet.
Have they not tested positive yet, is what I've heard. I thought we would know by now.
If they do test positive for it.
Wow.
Is it a thousand feet?
Well, I think it's they remove the trees within 1,000 feet. They establish a 3 or 5 mile quarantine zone around it. To prevent movement of any citrus from that area. But before we go down any more depressing citrus stories, let's talk about the potential cure that they are testing now or working on from the finger lime. The Australian finger lime
may
bring hope.
Well, we can talk a little bit more about that. We need to take a break. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same, but it's all right now.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We were talking about citrus greening disease and the hope that is on the horizon for it. Thanks to the an odd factor, the Australian finger lime, or the what do they call it? Is it caviar lime?
Yes,
yeah. Right.
Which is kind of it's a cool plant. It's a neat looking plant,
and a brilliant researcher.
And
thorny.
It's very thorny, but the fruit's really unusual.
It is,
but it's actually quite tasty.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
Little bursts of lime.
Do you have one?
I do.
It's a pretty tree.
And it's very productive.
It's productive. It's a darker green, I think, than most of the other citrus. I like it. It's a good looking plant.
Yeah, it's naturally a nice looking plant. I saw on it might have been an ad on Facebook that somebody was selling caviar limes, and they were $1 a piece. It was $50 for a bag of 50.
Ooh.
You could pretty much pay for.
Was anybody buying them?
Because oh, I don't know. I didn't.
I'm going into business.
Yeah.
But
that thing is productive.
You could pretty much, for that kind of money, the tree will more than pay for itself in the first season. So
people will pay that for it.
Correct. Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
What the market will bear.
That is. Bear, get it?
So anyway, how is the finger lime going to save everything else?
That's an excellent question, Mr. Anderson. There's a protein in it, right?
The University of California at Riverside has.
And a brilliant researcher who found it.
Yeah, there's a protein within the plant. And in controlled settings, they have sprayed trees, again, in controlled settings, and it has killed the disease, the HLB disease.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because my citrus is it's in perfect production now, and I get tons of citrus, and I always have citrus. And I figured now's the time when it's going to spread into my yard and croak all my citrus.
Or neighbors, and they're going to quarantine and rip out your trees.
The other thing that they were working on when this really kicked off in California was that they were trying to genetically modify oranges to make them immune to the disease. I haven't heard anything about it recently, but I think it was back in Florida where they were really pushing it because the citrus industry was just decimated by this whole thing. In Florida before it got out here.
Yeah.
1998 is when it was first found in Florida.
Wow. I didn't realize it was
been
that
a while.
Long ago.
That was the year we opened the nursery in Poway.
Yes, it was. June of 98. We're going to go to the phones. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go talk to Donna out in Lemon Grove. Good morning, Donna. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I really enjoy your program, and I like to listen to your jibber-jabber.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you getting up early.
I just have a question. I've got a small backyard, and I've got a reed avocado tree and an apricot tree, and I want to, is it too late, or is it okay? I just want to top it off, kind of keep it low.
The reed, and the apricot, or both?
Both.
It's not too late. I would be careful. The apricot, have at it. Do whatever you want to it. That's going to be fine. Reed avocado, I'd be a little more careful and try and protect interior branches from a lot of sun exposure. Or if you do cut it and open it up, then I'd whitewash the exposed areas with a white water-based paint to protect it from the sun.
Okay. Is that just the bottom of the trunk or just the...
No, where you open up the tree.
Up where you cut it.
Where you cut
it. Any newly exposed branching.
Okay. Thank you.
I did that with actually a reed avocado last year because it was leaning over my neighbor's fence and I wanted to be a good neighbor. And
you just didn't want them to get off.
I was going
to
say, or you were selfish. Exactly. Go either way.
I know they're delicious avocados.
They really are. No, a portion of his fuerte is on my side and a portion of my Haas is on his side and the reed's in the middle. And it's all good. I just didn't want too much going over there. But it didn't hurt it. And
I
chopped the top off of it.
That's what I want to do, because it's really growing up high.
I go ahead and do it and just whitewash up high, up where you expose the new areas to sun.
And that's just a water-based white paint?
A latex, right. You can mix it, dilute it 50% with water.
Okay, latex white paint.
Yep, that should do it.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.
Have a great weekend.
Have a great week.
Now,
uh-huh.
At the risk of sounding ignorant, is latex water-based or do you have oil-based latex paints? Is that redundant? And I
honestly don't know either.
Okay.
Just I know that whenever I read about, not read avocado, but when I read about in the UC about painting, it says use a water-based latex paint.
Okay.
At least that's what I think it said.
I think we actually have a whitewash at the nursery.
We have a brown one now, I think.
I don't know that we do.
And actually, if she's going to cut it back, now is probably
perfect time to do it.
Better to do it now
before it gets hot.
The weather really heats up.
It's going to put out new growth soon, so it will cover up the damage more quickly as well.
That is true. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're heading out to La Mesa, where Norman is. Good morning, Norman. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm glad you're talking about citrus this morning. I've got it's about a 60-year-old navel orange in our backyard out here in La Mesa. Because I've been in the house 50 years, and it was already here when we moved in. And it's prolific this year. It's really got a lot of oranges on it, but they're not sweet. I keep leaving them on there, hoping they'll get sweet if I leave them on a little longer, but they don't seem to be getting any sweet. Is it something I'm doing wrong with it?
I say be patient.
They are starting to fall a little bit.
Okay. Well, we've had quite a bit of wind, which will blow some off. Some say that copper will help to sweeten the fruit. And I had a chemist explain to me how copper will not sweeten the fruit, but whatever it does in the fruit makes it taste sweeter. But it doesn't actually sweeten the fruit. But I guess the result would
be the same.
So the citrus growers blend has copper in it, and you can spray it on the foliage to help. It'll go straight into the tree through the foliage. It'll be foliarly absorbed, and that should help. But when I was growing up, we'd taste the oranging, the coloration of the fruit and the ripening of the fruit are related but separate processes. So fruit can look ripe before it is. And we'd pick and eat, and if it wasn't ready,
We'd wait
a few days.
But another thing you can do is pick and wait a week or two before eating it, because the acids begin to break down when it comes off the tree. So that'll make it taste sweeter, too, because there'll be less acid in it.
Oh, I didn't think oranges sweeten after they're picked. You know, I didn't think they were like peaches or...
Give that a try, but also just be patient.
I heard that we didn't have cold enough weather, that it takes a frost to almost make them sweet.
Well, they need more warmth usually to sweeten up, and we've had good chill hours this year. We've had winter chill this year at most of the field stations where they monitor that. So I would just be patient on it, even though they look ready.
And,
yes, sir.
And I have to admit, I don't fertilize it a lot, so I was thinking maybe that's part of the problem.
That might be a contributing factor to it. You know, ideally, I would say you'd probably want to feed citrus about three times a year. Starting in late February, early March, up until about October or so.
It used to have a grass lawn underneath it, but now it's mostly this. It's like needlepoint ivy. And I thought, well, it's taking the nourishment away from it. Maybe I don't know.
You may want to feed it a little more frequently if there's something growing underneath of it, because that will take up a lot of the nutrients before it gets in. Yeah.
I guess I better give it a little more love.
Not too much.
Well, okay. Well, thanks for your help.
Anytime. Have a great weekend. Yep. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, do the same.
Okay. Bye. Take care. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number.
I was going to say, Laura Nancaro. Now, you did stuff with him, right?
Yes.
Years ago. He did a whole show on citrus sweetening and had a formulation with regard to using copper and a couple other things to help. And so that citrus blend that we sell does have all those ingredients. At least I think it's the same ingredients in it. Nitrogen, some iron, boron, copper, and a couple
other
things.
It's mostly trace elements.
Yes. But it also, it looks like Tang. I mean, you remember Tang? So you open up the top, you mix it up, and you can spray that all over the foliage of the trees and get those nutrients directly into the plant more quickly than you would if you fed it through the roots.
Who are you calling a boron?
But you still need to
It still needs the other stuff. Yeah, these are all trace minerals, absolutely.
Yeah.
They're heavy feeders. I mean, they need a lot of nitrogen.
Yes, they do.
And if you want to do the trace minerals once or twice a year, that should be more than adequate.
I've always recommended a couple of times a year.
And Richard, too, when he comes in.
Yeah, I've done that on the – in fact, it was that citrus that had the Asian citrus psyllid on it. The tree never looked good, and I thought it actually had the greening disease. All the leaves were veining, so I gave it some extra trace minerals and finally started growing properly.
I have a jar of citrus growers blend on the shelf in the garage.
Show it to your trees once in a while.
I do. Look.
Next to all
Chuck
your
was saying
things.
Chuck was telling me the other day that that's starting to get hard to find, along with a lot of other stuff.
Oh, we're still hearing about supply problems with containers.
Correct.
The plastic bottles and jars and lids.
That's what Gromar's issue's been, yeah.
They don't have the containers to put the products in. They have the products, but just...
They just don't have the vessels to hold it. Well, Gromar was out of the 630-30 for a long time.
Yeah.
But I saw we have the big one on the shelf now. The small one's not available.
Yeah.
So that might be a container.
I know we
just
got a huge order of Gromar stuff in. I'm not sure of what exactly, but finally, it's been months and months.
And
but
I think
we finally got it in.
Lids was a problem as well, that you couldn't get lids. You have the container, but not the top.
Strange times. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break for some news, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now.
And we're back. More Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
You want to address no news real quickly so that we can go forth beyond it?
What? There's no news?
At the bottom of the hour.
Apparently not. I think that's a carryover from the old station.
It is. So we won't say that anymore, maybe.
No.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to head out to El Cajon where Gavin is waiting. Good morning, Gavin. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Fine. Thanks. How you doing?
I'm doing good. What can we do for you?
Last week, Ted asked a question about his apple tree that he planted with his daughter. I don't know if you remember that call.
Maybe it was a seedling.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
The question I had in relation to his inquiry there was, is there any place an individual can acquire a cutting, you know, professionally, a cutting that would he could graft into his tree to ensure that he would get a tree that's bearing apples.
Absolutely. Any of the anybody who has a productive apple can give you a piece of it, as long as.
Well, it's not a patented variety, but you know, a lot of these are older varieties.
And we have some non-patented varieties at the nursery that we trim when we the bare roots that come in,
right.
and that those scions would be that would be available.
Yeah, that's all all you need.
Yeah, just right. it's just a known variety that you want to grow. So if your neighbor has a Dorset, well, is Dorset? Yeah, Dorset's an older variety.
It's
Dorset
old.
Or an Anna or a Fuji, and that's what you want to grow. You ask them for a cutting. That's it.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, I just did. The recommendation was to look around in his neighborhood, and he said he could become a ninja for, you know, acquiring a cutting. But I just didn't hear any discussion of a professional source where you would you go to get something.
You know, that's interesting. I know that there are, you can go online. There are a lot of exchanges for scion wood in San Diego. The California Rare Fruit Growers does it for things like avocados and other things. So you might find a source online if you're looking for a particular variety, but there's usually all kinds of exchanges. Facebook has a San Diego Backyard Gardeners or Backyard Growers page, and those guys, if you put something on there, I'm sure there's somebody be willing to give you a cutting of whatever you're looking for.
Okay, one follow-up on your previous thread there on minerals. I read a story a long time ago about a plum tree and a guy with boron trying to fix it. Is there something that would go with an apple tree, you know, that you should put on there to help the soil?
Well, all plants need the trace minerals, and they generally need them in trace amounts. But and most of those are available in the soil. But once in a while you have deficiencies, and then these trace mineral supply them. So you could use the same trace mineral product, the citrus growers blend, for your apple if it was showing signs of it. And usually mineral deficiencies show up in the leaves of plants.
And apples typically just have zinc is the biggest trace mineral deficiency in apple trees.
Is it? I was not aware of that.
Okay.
And if you use a product like Grow Power, it has a great many of the trace minerals in it to begin with.
Most of the good
fertilizers
will have some of the trace elements
correct.
In them. But I know for a fact that the citrus and avocado food from Grow Power does not have copper in it.
No. There's
which
very
really
few
surprised
things
me.
In the fertilizers that have copper in it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But many of the cheaper fertilizers do not have trace minerals in them, and
correct.
That's one of the reasons they're cheaper fertilizers.
Yeah.
But what I like to use is the Grow Power soil conditioner, which is 5% kelp, and it doesn't break down all the minerals, but kelp is super high in minerals, and it's a great way to put minerals into your soil. And
okay.
I think that's part of the benefit, the beauty, and the problem with Grow Power is it's humic acid based, and those things are in there, but they're not part of the guaranteed analysis.
Yeah.
They're not going to claim it all, but the kelp usually takes care of what you need.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Gavin. Have a great weekend.
Yep. Thanks.
Okay.
I was going to ask him how the recall thing was going, but it didn't sound like the right voice.
Yeah. I was going to make that joke too.
You know what else they used to get out of kelp?
Captain Sticky's product.
Yeah, yes.
No, I was going to say gunpowder.
No, I did not know that.
You did not know? Down at Chula Vista, where the Nature Center is?
Yes.
It's on Gunpowder Point. And
for
that's where they produced nitrates for gunpowder during World War I there. As a matter of fact, parts of the factory are still there.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was big business for a while.
I thought gunpowder came from that episode of Star Trek, and you had a little bit of...
Oh, where he goes and mixes all the stuff and sticks it in a piece of bamboo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Out in the desert.
Yeah.
There's always bamboo combs in the desert for you.
A 6-inch diameter
ice.
One.
Right.
Yeah. Was that a Gorn? Was that what the monster was?
The
lizard?
Alien. Yeah.
The alien.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Please continue.
So, yeah. Anyway, If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. The other thing that they make out of kelp is agar.
Yeah.
For scientific purposes and in Southeast Asia, it's a food.
Well, it's also
in
a lot of products. I mean, yeah. it's in ice cream.
It's in our ice cream.
I remember when American kelp used to be in the Mission Brewery building on Washington Street, and it just reeked when you drove by there where they were processing the kelp. And I don't even know if they process kelp in San Diego anymore. You used to see the kelp cutters moving in and out of the bay.
Yeah, you see them up and down the coast, right up on the other side. Yeah,
but
no idea.
I haven't seen a kelp. I can't remember the last time I saw a kelp cutter.
Is it Kelco?
Kelco
was.
Yeah. And there are they gone?
They're not in Mission Brewery building anymore.
They used to,
I know that.
I think over in Kearney Mesa. But I don't remember seeing it. I know there's a building somewhere I used to drive by with Kelco.
Okay, you guys keep talking, and I'm going to... you usually research. Come on,
man.
Yeah,
but that's not a plant thing. So,
kelp isn't a plant thing?
No, the kelp is, but what companies go out of business. Yeah. But I was going to say back to the apples, and we were talking about nitrogen. And as a general rule, with a lot of palm fruit, the excess nitrogen can actually cause softer and poor quality fruit.
Really?
Too much nitrogen.
Interesting. And by palm fruit, you referring to
apples and pears.
Yeah, apples, pears.
You know, palm.
Yeah. I didn't want people to mistake it for palm.
P-O-M-E.
Correct.
Yeah.
Home. Speaking of fruit trees, the season is winding down.
Very, very quickly.
Very quickly. If you go out to the bare root section in Poway right now, it looks like there's a lot of trees, but actually there's not that many trees. It looks like there's a lot of trees just because we've condensed things down.
We've gotten rid of 8 of those big wooden containers that are no longer full of fruit trees.
I think more trees than we've ever had before come and go.
In this period of time, more quickly,
yes.
And I think this year we have probably sold more persimmons than we have ever sold in our history. I don't know what it is that people are going.
Well, they're delicious.
Well, I won't argue that, but why now? I mean, why are people jumping on the persimmon bandwagon?
If not now, when?
But all of our bare root ones are gone.
They're gone, and they disappeared quickly. But
and we had what, 7 varieties of persimmon?
Like, not a lot of depth, other than the Fuyus. Yeah. But yes, but we came across an availability that had an extra 100. Plus 15-gallon or the 10 gallons from Monrovia, which are nicely rooted and branched Fuyu persimmons, and they're holding on to them for us. So we should have them longer in the season.
Actually, all of the Monrovia 10 are they 10 or 15? They're 10 gallons, aren't they?
Yeah, they're that weird.
It's a weird.
Size,
it's a weird. Yeah. It's a weird size, but they are like everything that Monrovia grows. Really, really nice fruit trees. Doesn't matter what variety of fruit tree it is. If you can get one of those from Monrovia, you're going to have a really nice tree.
Right.
Really, really good looking tree. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Later in this.
It sounds like we're taking a break, doesn't it?
It does sound like we're taking a break. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson.
And we're back.
Well.
with more Garden Talk here on KPRZ and KCBQ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We were talking about bare root fruit trees, and as the season starts winding down, we start canning up backstock that we have, things that we didn't sell through.
Well, actually, there's trees we brought in specifically and we for do, that,
yes,
but most of them went out bare root.
Yeah, and it'll get to the point where even the bare root stock that we have on the floor will be removed, and some of it's already blooming.
Yeah,
a lot of the peaches and apples are. Yeah.
So that stuff will be taken off the floor shortly and canned up, and then it'll be available for sale later in the springtime, a few months down the road.
One of our suppliers had a bunch of fruit trees available, potted, which I thought great. We haven't been able to get them, but it turns out they were freshly potted this year, so they're not rooted in.
They're
it doesn't
not ready
do
to go.
Anybody any favors. So,
but at least we have them for later.
Yes.
No, I mean the buying them in. I thought they were ready to sell now, but the growers had just potted them as well.
Right. So there's no different than those that we're going to pot up.
Right.
Right.
But we'll still have a good supply.
Absolutely.
When it's time to
we
go.
We will have a good supply.
And one thing that we don't have a good supply on right now, which amazed me because I hadn't been out in that section for a little while, but at one time we had a ridiculous amount of avocados in stock. Yeah. And I was out there just this week, and I was walking around like, man,
they're gone.
What happened to all the avocados? There's still a fairly good selection. It's just not a deep selection. Plants are on the small side. You were showing me our main supplier's availability list, and it's just
pushed away.
There's
blank.
Nothing there.
It's just blank. And same thing for citrus too. So we're
getting what we can when we can.
Yeah.
In Poway, David orders those. So often when a customer asks for a particular variety of avocado or citrus, I'll ask David, hey, what's the availability on X? And he'll look at me and he used to say, I'll have those next Thursday or 2 weeks we'll be getting them.
Right.
Now he just shakes his head. He goes, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Are you going to ask me that again?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It is a crap.
Well, and then I forwarded you that email with that list of citrus that the person wanted. And there was probably, 10 or 12 different things on there? We had
three things.
Yeah. So.
But you wanted them
not
in 5 gallon.
Not that we're not trying. Yeah.
Well, the demand has been incredible, right. And supply has been dwindling because of the bug we were talking about at the beginning. We're having fewer people that are interested in growing citrus and jumping through the hoops to produce citrus, and the demand is greater than it's ever been. And the only thing that hasn't happened with that, which is lucky given market principles, is the prices haven't skyrocketed.
No, they have
but
not.
Demand is high bit, and supply much, yeah. is low.
Yeah.
Although in other areas, as plants are coming, as we're getting plants in and restocking, there are some things where prices are skyrocketing. I mean, huge jumps in cost.
Well,
so
and you look at what's happening production wise in the state, and all of the costs in producing something are going up dramatically. It has to happen.
Yeah.
Owari Satsuma mandarins. One, Owari is the standard Satsuma, but there's like a dozen different Satsumas out there. But the one we've always carried is Owari. But one company says on their label, Owari. The traditional company says Satsuma. So people are hesitant to buy the Owari, which is what they've always been. That's the label they've already always gotten, but they just didn't know it. And we got in some gorgeous ones in December. A lot of them, and they're almost all gone now. And hopefully soon, this is a different grower, but they haven't told us what we're going to be able to get this year. We booked a bunch of stuff last year, but they haven't confirmed those bookings yet.
Another thing about citrus that I think a lot of people don't realize, you cannot buy organically grown citrus trees in California right now. Nobody
probably,
is
probably
producing.
Nowhere in the states, I would think, for the same reason.
Yeah, because in California, because of the quarantine, transporting any citrus that is transported has to be treated with a pesticide that is not an organic pesticide. So, and if you look at citrus that's for sale in the nurseries and the garden centers, there's going to be a CDFA tag on it that says that it has been, that certifies that it has been treated. So now that doesn't mean that you can't get it to an organic condition. It's just going to take a while. And I can't remember what.
I think it's 12 months or 20, somewhere between 12 and 24 months to certify organic.
Yeah.
After something has been treated or fed.
Yeah. And once you get the tree home, if you do want to go the organic route, even as far as the, you don't have to use the chemical pesticides. You can use the horticultural oil, will take care of most,
right?
Most things.
There's organic solutions.
Yeah. So it's just to be considered a certified organic tree. Yeah. It's going
to
take a
while. For us to carry it and sell it, they have to be treated.
It has to, every nursery and garden center, it has to be treated. So for the organic gardeners out there, I think that's information that you may not have been aware of. So what else were we going to talk about?
I was going to go somewhere with that, but I have no idea where it was. So I'll just shake my head and jibber jabber for a moment.
You know what I customer came in yesterday with an olive branch showing
they were
olive scorch.
They were trying to have peace with you,
right? Olive, yes.
They brought in an olive branch.
Well, they were pretty nice anyway.
They were peaceful anyway.
Yeah, they were peaceful anyway. But olive scorch, where branches just start to burn off randomly through the tree. It first started with. Oleanders was when we first started seeing it, and it's pretty much wiped out oleanders throughout. Well, I know in Poway there used to be a bunch of oleanders on the side of the road in the business park. They're all gone. But the oleander scorch is caused by a bacteria. It's the same bacteria, but a different strain that causes Pierce's disease, which decimated the vineyards in Temecula at one time, and it's vectored by the same insect, the glassy winged sharpshooter. But I always thought that the oleander scorch was the same thing that causes the olive scorch, but apparently it's not. The olive scorch apparently is a complex fungal disease. Both of them are fatal to the trees. They will eventually die. You can slow it down by cutting the sections out, but what it does is it clogs up the vascular system of the plant, and it just chokes it off.
They seem to come back for a while if you cut them down, and they'll send up new growth and regenerate, but ultimately it's probably not best plant.
Yeah, it's a losing battle, but you can also see it on
liquid ambers.
Liquid ambers.
Right.
Yeah, it pops up on liquid. As a matter of fact, we lost a couple of liquid ambers in Poway because of it.
Now, which one is it that does the liquid ambers?
Liquid ambers, I think, is the Xyella.
It is.
And the purple leaf plums too. That's the one that
I haven't seen. I haven't seen it on purple leaf plum.
I haven't seen any literature for purple leaf plums. I just thought they were short-lived plants.
They are short.
They are short-lived. Now there's a midge that gets on purple leaf plums. Kind of like it's kind of like
the pear slug.
Pear slug gets on them, and it can
defoliate them.
Yeah, it doesn't wipe them out, but it'll defoliate them.
Have you ever tried to approach a glassy winged sharpshooter on a plant and take a picture of it, or just get close to it?
Yeah, they flip around.
They are the fastest insects, and it's like they transport to the other side. I don't know how they get from point A to point B so rapidly.
They are fast.
Scotty beams
them
over
to the other side. It's amazing.
Well, the other thing with glassy winged sharpshooters is I had them on a clayera in my yard one time, and the clayera was planted close to our patio dining table, and in the evening in the sunsets, you could sit there and you could see
the
excrement from the sharpshooters just squirting out of the tree.
Oh,
goodness.
I had
lovely. The sun, the sunlight would catch it.
I would see them on my grapes, and I would try to take photographs of them, and just
they're
very unsuccessful.
They're probably one of the fastest insects on a plant that I have ever seen
anything like that.
Well, also what they're doing is not trying to run away.
They're just
moving around the corner real quick. So they're out of sight very quickly by rotating around the stem.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
They're shy. They're timid.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
They're tighter paparazzi. And they just...
when I park in the summer at the nursery in Poway, I park under the Tipawana trees.
Okay.
And there's a bug that gets on those. And so the excrement as you are...
Drops all over
the car. Sticks to the windows. It's very nice.
That's lovely.
You started it.
I remember the other, another bug that does that is a spittle bug.
Oof.
And I remember we had one. We had a big
rosemary.
I've had it in my rosemary at home. But we had a big strawberry guava at our house on Galveston Street. And I remember we'd be out in the backyard playing. It would almost rain on you.
What is characteristic of a spittle bug? Just for those who,
It's an insect that secretes a liquid that foams, so you see these little foamy balls on your plants. And it's relatively easy to control. As a matter of fact, just hosing it off in some cases is enough.
It just looks like balls of spit.
I guess that's a good name for it.
It works well.
Yeah, it does work well. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We'll be back next week with another hour of Garden Talk. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.